Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Mike Lewis Ingram, and as always, it's good to be with you. Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by VASNism.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right here, right now, at www.vasnism, allonephrase.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, who you will be seeing shortly. And a side note to everybody else who bet, did you have Los Angeles and the points? Anyway, we shall start off by speaking to the obvious, because every Sunday, we hear the words bad beat. Now, bad beat would be you're in a good situation, and say when the situation is at the end or the last play or whatever, somehow you lose your bet. That's a bad beat. Now, we had one in the NFL, but it's not the one that you think. Ironically, the Denver Broncos and Washington Commanders played, and Washington was up 35-27. It looks like the upset factors were in all effect. But the last play of the game with 4 seconds left, Russell Wilson threw a pass to the end zone that bounced off two players and landed in a Denver receiver. Touchdown. The next thing you know, all right, we're going to go for the two-point conversion, and unfortunately, Cortland Sutton dropped the ball. So what we're left with is a bad beat. That happens, you know, and for that, we just shake your head. But what I saw on Sunday in California, that was not a bad beat. That was a full cheat. And with that in mind, we have to go into full lawyer mode, because there was some scumbaggery, assholery, and sabotage all going on at the same time.
Guilty!
Fucking court. Somebody has already decided the course of action in this case. I have with me counselor from the prestigious law firm of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Gary Gray, Reggie Howe, and Tony McClain. Good evening, gentlemen.
Play my theme music.
You know it's You know it's tough when the judge is already lobbing grenades at the defense. You know it's tough when there's a day like that.
Michael, I saw the voice red. I saw 3 seconds of the game. I saw I got to the real court. Oh, here we go, here we go, here we go.
What do you say, G? It's an outrage. It's an outrage. I said it's an outrage here.
It's only an outrage if they win by 10, apparently.
Apparently. It was a part with 2 P's. What was even more infuriating was I saw the last 2 minutes of the game. And the Los Angeles Rams. were driving downfield. They had already lost the game. They were losing 30-20. There's no fucking way, touchdown, whatever, that they could get 11 points out the deal. But they went downfield with that non-plan Matthew Stafford, hoping for the best. And he nickeled and dimed his way into a situation where a 38-yard field goal was kicked after he downed the ball with 3 seconds left. Now,
Michael, wait. You're telling me, this is why I need to fix this in. Everybody and grandma knows that with 3 seconds, when you kick anything, I don't care where it is, you kick 3 seconds, that's it. So what are you doing?
No, that's exactly what they were doing. What they were doing was icing the ball for one play. 3 seconds, one kick. Any NFL kicker worth his salt can make a field goal from at least 35-40 yards.
But see, I understand if it was 5 seconds or 7 seconds, but 3 seconds, I don't get it.
It don't matter.
Calm down, Gary, calm down.
You snap the ball, the ball is kicked, 0 show up on the clock, and depending on whether it's good or bad, that's it. But the real question to ask, Tony, how much money was bet before the kick?
Yep.
What was the percentage of bets on Los Angeles and San Francisco? Or
no. I kind of find it hard to believe to myself, Reggie. Now, San Fran was favored, by the way, but they were favored to win.
Lord.
They were favored to win by, I believe,
7 points.
It was 7.5. I was under the assumption that it was 6. So that changes everything. Oh.
No. Hey, T, I got a better one than that. Check this out, T. Do you realize they took a bath of $200 million because it was a bet out there that everybody in college was hit a field goal in the first game, and it came through. They lost $200 million.
Not surprised. And Mike.
And they
Mike,
ain't talking about it either.
Mike, that sort of explains it because, see, look.
He can tell you about it.
You know how the house does. Oh, we got beat up on Saturday. We sure as hell are going to make up for it on Sunday.
Because
again, and the precedent one of the precedents of recent vintage was when the Saints beat. Again, ironically, the Rams. I'm sorry.
That's
the Rams,
right.
Ironically, mm-hmm. beat the Saints in the NFC Championship game on a call mm-hmm. that Roy Orbison, Stevie Wonder, Jose Feliciano, and the great Kreskin could have called.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. and then of course, if I remember correctly, was it DraftKings or was it Vegas that basically said that they would, or was it Jersey? I forget. That said that they were going to give
Jersey.
Folks their money back. Okay, it was Jersey.
It was in Jersey.
So, refund. Yeah.
So they could get it right back from them.
Well, so of course, 2 weeks later, we had arguably the most exciting Super Bowl ever with the Patriots winning 13-3.
No kidding.
Now, T, there you go, putting the facts in the way of the argument. There you go again.
Well, here's the thing. See, look, we all know the skullduggery that goes on at the league office in Park Avenue in New York City. But see, now they're not even trying to hide it anymore. And I wanted to bring this up, Mike. I forgot to tell you this. There's an ad campaign on this year in the NFL. One of the guys from Key and Peele, I believe it's Key, and other former current players talking about the quote-unquote scripts for the season.
You can't make this stuff up.
Yep. That's the name of the ad campaign. You can't make this stuff up. And again, it's done tongue in cheek and all this other stuff. But see, again, the NFL is showing is literally giving you their ass to kiss in the sense of, yeah, it's fixed. We
that's
know
exactly
it.
Right.
And you'll still like it. I mean, it's basically like when you had the replacement games.
Yep,
you know,
that's right.
They basically took the Bill Cosby approach. I'll find another one look just like you, put it in a uniform, and you'll go watch the games.
Yep.
That's right. Well, good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North America and all her chips of beer. Let's go to press. We are now going to focus on the action in last Sunday's CFL. And when I say CFL, I don't mean Canadian Football League. I mean Criminal Football League. Because there were some cheap motherfuckers going on playing last Sunday's games. Now, as we stated earlier, we've got litigators from the firm of Dewey, Chino, and Howe are checking this out. We also have litigators from the firm of Gleason, I can't even get the last name, so. Gleason. Oh, what the fuck.
This Dewey, and Sue.
I can't get him out. Anyway, we have Professor Fred Nix and Professor. We've said for many times the NFL walks on a very thin line when it comes to its credibility. Issues that should not
thin line.
They don't give a fuck about. And issues that really should matter, all of a sudden, they don't say anything until it's too late to say something. So, what say you, Pastor, and good evening?
Good evening. First and foremost, let me get this plug in. NFL means new Pokemon. And there is quite a close similarity between NFL, USFL, that other league, and remember that so much of the WW whatever the letters are, these are guys who've been in the NFL. Look at some of who your stars are. These are guys who at least had, a cup of coffee in the NFL.
That's
true. They bring that along with their, quote, expertise back and, you know, throw in a little, shall we say, fakery or facade or whatever you want to call it. Throw in the right amount of that, and you keep people telling you what you don't see and telling you what you're supposed to be seeing or what they want you to see.
You're gonna believe me or your lying eyes?
I'm an eagle. As in eagles, who the singing eagles. You know, you can't hide your lying eyes. Remember thing back in the 70s about lying? You know, it came along around the time of one of these nights. Well, one of these Sundays. You know, the only.
I never pegged you as an Eagle fan, Fred.
I've listened to the Eagles for years.
I saw them
do a set live one time. I was hooked, and you know, just like, you know, I tell people all the time. They say, well, you know, I'm in the library one day and they say, are you actually listening to Dolly Parton instead of Whitney Houston? Yes. Well, what do you listen to? I'll Always Love You. Well, why don't you listen to Houston instead of Dolly?
Well, I heard Dolly play it live at the Cumberland County Arena in, back in the 70s. You know, before Whitney Houston was even heard of.
True.
This was a song she wrote to her departing boyfriend at the time.
I had that same
anyway,
thing with Patrick Cline on the show just a couple of weeks ago. Go ahead. I'm right with you.
And see, we got people now who are so estranged to history because it requires you to read.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not reading, at least watch some good video. They won't do that
yep.
either.
Mm-hmm.
So you got then you get TV. Even without cable, I watch TV over about 25 different channels without any repetition. And
mm-hmm.
because they got all these things floating around out there, quote, these networks are feeding us all kinds of bull.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, you got people who believe exactly what they hear much more so than what they see. And, you know, and the only sad parts about this whole scenario is you have a situation like it happened with the Steelers game where your man gets hurt early in the game, out for the season. The guy for the New York Jets, you know, that's not even funny because
yep.
here he is, what, three or four plays into the game, you know, he's barely broken a sweat, and guess what, he's out
yep.
for the season, and they got to pay. I hope he,
yeah.
as they say, I hope he got insurance because they got to pay him.
Yeah, that's
see,
good, right?
You got all these things out here working as all these shows that are called, quote, reality shows, and ain't nothing real about them, whether it's cooking, whether it's songs, you know, the whole bit. And, you
yeah.
know, and so much of what we call reality now ain't nothing real about it.
Ain't nothing
and
real
so
about
now,
it.
The only reality show I watch is the 6 o'clock news. That's all the reality I need.
But Professor, I got a question for you. Okay, HBCU, North Carolina Central recently came from playing UCLA. I think they parked about $750 million for the trip, and if I'm mistaken, I believe UCLA took care of all the expenses as far as flying and the hotel and all that, which we know they could afford. 60 Minutes had Deion on, and slick-ass reporter tried to corner him when he asked him, well, why'd you leave Jackson State? Number one, there's been discussion about money, but I think he took the high road and really didn't say nothing about it. But yet,
right.
you got a situation in Michigan State where this man put his dick in the payroll, and now he's going to lose $70 million. Can you help me with that situation there, Professor?
Sometimes some of us forget that we're black, and there's
Ooh.
A separate set of rules for us.
No,
and where
it ain't so. It ain't so.
They fired him, didn't they?
They
gave him
$1 million. He could have bought all of what he wanted.
They made sure they got every bit of that money back too, didn't they?
They damn sure
yep.
Well, they don't necessarily want their money back. They just don't have to pay him no more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's already mm-hmm.
so,
you know
so
quote, he's already in the service.
Did it again.
So you don't have to worry about that side of it. But see, this again.
Yeah.
Again. We live in a society. I discussed this with one of my church members over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
As you watch TV, how many women, especially white women, do you see the alto voices? All you hear are these little soprano, squeaky voiced white women who look anorexic with the bony knees, who wear skirts, sparkly shorts.
Now, why do you stop and stay still? Why are you describing stay still?
No, I mean, that's just, again, that's part of the reality that we face because we are told, you know, what it's saying without saying it is, guess what? This is beauty. blonde, blue eyes. You know, look like straight off the ad for the Hitler Youth. Blonde, blue eyes, brownie.
No ass.
And when is the last time you heard somebody who sound like, national? Barbara Walters, remember? She had kind of a raspy type voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a tendency for black men.
we'll see.
She had jungle fever.
When you look at this as what's portrayed to us as beauty, reality, or whatever, if you buy that, you buy some of everything. I mean, I don't get deep into who you fall in love with, and I know how that can go. You know, I have a stepson who's white. I have 1, 2, 3 nieces and some cousins who are white. And see, our church is unique because we have a bunch of mixed couples, but guess what? All the women are black, all the men are white. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, there's one lady who's actually Filipino. I think she's Filipino, but there's five or six of these couples. And see, when we go back and look at what we know to be the reality of the coaches like Eddie Robinson and all the greats that we talk about and admire, guess what? They are slowly but surely being weeded out as the great people that they are in favor of some Johnny Come Lately, you know.
It's worse than that,
Gary. Cause guess what?
Yeah.
Listen to people talking about what we call the talking heads. Every play that's exciting is the greatest. And what's that jackass that used to play receiver, I think, for either Cleveland or Cincinnati? He comes on Sunday night.
Chris Collinsworth.
Every play with any measure of excitement behind it, guess what? It's the greatest play of all time. So-and-so is the greatest receiver who ever caught a ball. So-and-so, he missed the whole side of the field, but he's the greatest passer of all time. Got no numbers whatsoever. You know, think about it. He was on the game Sunday night when Rodgers got hurt. Oh, there goes the greatest of all time passer, whatever. And then, I think the Jets came back and won. So now the backup quarterback is the greatest of all time, according to him. And we don't even know his name.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fred, to be fair, the Jets game was on Monday Night Football.
But I get what you're saying though,
because Collinsworth is the guy on Monday night
with Troy Aikman and another clown. They the same cut from the same cloth. You know, Professor, look how they're mopping your coach in Pittsburgh, Professor. They're trying to run him out of town. Mike Tomlin can have a good year this year.
Look. Mike Tomlin's been fired 187,000 times during his tenure in Pittsburgh.
187,001.
And
call a nigga by a fire chief. I'm sorry.
Oops. But still, okay. Since you all brought up the Steelers, I got to watch. I slept through the game. I was busy all Monday. Anyway, I slept through the game. At any rate, one of the things that I noticed was there was a pass to the corner by the by whoever our new quarterback is this year.
No comment. Yeah. No comment.
And the only thing I could think of, the only thing I could think of positive about it was he didn't get sacked on the play. And the color commentator made his comment. Ooh, what a great pass! I mean, okay. The referee said it was a catch. I'm not gonna argue with the rest with the referee. But to me, it looked like the ball skipped into his hands on replay. Mm. Now, when they looked at it, and I'm not gonna get into verifying whether or not the referees actually fix games or the NFL fix games. We already discussed that. We knew they do. But at the same time, though, here we go with this greatest of all time, and then we try to, okay, who are we to say that, let's pick Walt Frazier is talking about the greatest, the greatest point guard of all time. Okay, remember, it's people like Walt Frazier who how can you say that about Oscar Robinson? Because Oscar Robinson was one of the ones who invented the position. Okay? Yeah. Well, you know, they didn't want to say anything like that about Willis Reed, but Willis Reed changed the interior play for the NBA and the community level. Why? Because he didn't play center in college. He played forward. And he shot from outside. And one of the things that throw out two good centers' names who has to play defense, Russell, Chamberlain. Let's just start right there. Both of them said he made them work because he didn't have to be under the basket when the ball was rotating. He could take his shot from outside and create his own shot, change the inside play. To this day, until they went back to what they got now, and all they do is throw up. You're 7 feet tall, you weigh 150, and they tell you he's going to be such a great player at the NBA level just because he played blood ball overseas. Now, there's a young man that plays for Golden State. I think he's going to make this young boy cry. If not worse, because he's only like 6'7", maybe 6'8", but he's gonna lock his bowels when it comes to defense.
Yeah,
and several other guys gonna do the same thing. And because of that, when he gets out there and can't just get, and unless the referee just go call foul every time they touch him, which they might be prone to do.
No,
unless that happens. This old G, as you call him now, is going to tear that young G a new one because he's never had the kind of defense. He's never had the kind of defense he's going to have now. In about another month, he gonna know what it feels like to be roped and tied because he gonna light into him big time. And you know, and it's good because they have totally gone beyond we spoke about the boundary was when ESPN became important on the national scene. Well, they have eliminated, they have moved 20 years down the road and cut out most of that. So now,
all that's working.
Excuse me?
But right now, what we got to deal with is the fact that these motherfuckers from the NFL cheated, and everybody saw it. You don't take a primetime game where the team is no doubt going to win and play for points. You have to ask the coach of the Los Angeles Scams, did you bet on the fucking game? Because you sure shit coached like you did. You got the ball downfield to kick a field goal. Not to throw a touchdown, but to kick a field goal. Because all you had to do was get at least 3 points, and you made the spread. You made your bet. Your fans made your bet. Are we gentlemen, are we collectively creating a new groups of fans here or new groups of gamblers in the fact that we know the coach will go along and try to help us get over?
Oh, the gambling guys have always been there. It's just now that they can actually walk amongst us now in wow. public. You know, before it was all.
But
what
about Charlie Fangs and them? They ain't breaking shoulders and arms no more.
Oh man! Look, I was over at Jimmy the Fingers' house the other night, and me, and of course his wife, Lady Fingers. And even they aren't making the same kind of money that they made years ago. It's just now that, you know, put it this way.
God.
It's like now they've been legitimate. It's like, it's, you know how in Goodfellas and the, you know, where they become a made man, so to speak. Basically now these gamblers are now now gambling has basically become, it's become chic now. Back in the day,
the Rams were favored by 7 points, and the Rams are going down the field. Okay, here we go.
Well, see, back in the day when you had Jimmy the Greek and Pete Axhelm, it was always sort of a tongue-in-cheek sort of thing. I mean. Even Jimmy the Greek, like he would do, like, you know, him and Musburger would do a radio show before the NFL Today, and he would pick one team on the radio show, and then on the TV show, he would pick an opposite team, and Brent would call him out of that. You didn't say that on the radio show, Greek.
You're supposed to tell that, Brent.
Exactly. Loudmouth Brent. But
was that before
now,
he had a cup of drinks?
But now, I've always felt like sort of like the change came when fantasy football became huge because there were so many independent places where you could come out to play, where you could go to play game, where you can go play and make some cash. But see, I don't forget the year, but I'm still on the NFL's media mailing list because I still get like the record and guides every year. But about, I want to say maybe about 94, 95 or so, the NFL sent out the NFL's official guide to fantasy football.
Yes.
And
okay.
Yeah, exactly. Ever since then, now it's like
the NFL is promoting fake football.
Yeah.
Oh, they have. Oh, they a tradition, you know, like they say for the Masters, a tradition known on its own. But see, it's my point is. Remember the scene in Hoodlum when Gus Schultz, tries to take over Madam Queen's operations in Harlem because he saw them, and I think
the
I can say panties. It without whatever. When them nigga pennies started to become
nigga
dollars, all of a sudden, we gotta get our hands in it, and you see that also as well if you watch Godfather Harlem as well, where you see what Bumpy Johnson deal with in the 60s. And remember, Bumpy was based off of Hoodlum. The thing is, We've all talked for years about the greedy bastard factor in the NFL. I think the NFL takes it over all the other four leagues because they're greedy for all the wrong reasons. But the thing with them is once they're able to make a profit, so to speak, then they want to take it over. It's sort of like what you're seeing now with the marijuana shops. Once they found out, hey, we can make a couple of bucks off this, then all of a sudden marijuana became legal in, you know, a handful of states.
You got that right. You got that right. We have a litigant from the other side, from the law firm of Gleason, Fleason, and Greasom. Mr. Patrick Farrar is in the house. My brother,
live with Lemon Colors. What's up, fellas? How's everybody doing?
All right.
Good, man. Good, good, good.
Brother, we are
good.
We
finally won a game Saturday, so we're good.
We are dealing with reality that the NFL.
Patrick, I got one thing I want you all to do this weekend.
Yeah.
Bury those assholes, please. please.
You know, it was
please.
Me. I blew them up.
Oh,
it's going to be a little different game because they got a better quarterback than we got. So it's going to be close and not
one. That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
I'm getting on my hands and knees and I'm begging to my pagan god that you guys beat them this weekend.
Yeah, and I'm around a lot of Notre Dame people. In Jersey, and
I hope you were well armed. I mean, well informed when you were talking.
well, I know it back them up because we've been beat them 5-3 times. So that might have been
I see.
But Tony, I want to mention something that you said relative to the idea of the NFL and the what they're doing. You're 100% correct. 150% correct.
Do you remember the actual year that it came out? Because I want to say it was like in the late 90s. I can't remember exactly when, but it was. I want to say like somewhere in the 90s.
Yeah, it was in the 90s. Yeah, I don't know exactly. I get lost in the years. I know the events, the lost in the years, but being around the NFL the 20 years I was, man. Nothing, you know, I always say it with, if I answer something on Facebook, I say, why y'all surprised? Why y'all surprised?
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, did you hear about that $200 million that the bettors lost with the college, everybody betting for a field goal in the first game?
Oh, yeah.
I told y'all.
I was talking to Mike this evening. I got something good for you. There's a major merger deal getting ready to happen. I told you, you know, we work in stages. You work from the dinner and from the boardroom until the finals are cleared up and the golf course. We're in the golf course now. ESPN and a major betting network are going to collaborate on a major betting entity.
I saw that.
And I called my man in Pittsburgh, who was, you know, a sports marketing professor, and he said, FanDuel and DraftKings, watch out.
Look. Everybody's. You know, look. There's gold in Dunbar Hills, and they are literally. You know, they're trying to bring Bugs Bunny around. So when he starts shaking, they'll know when they can start digging.
Really, there's gold in Dunbar Hills, but is there justice in Dunbar Hills? That's the real question.
Justice.
Mike, as you like to say, there's a reason why she wears a blindfold on the limit of that.
Yeah, justice. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. And the trick that ESP has, they only have a network. Already, their major sporting outlets, you know, had like, well, Bally went out of business, but the other entities, sports betting entities, want to collaborate with content creation companies. Well, ESPN already got it. They're just going to craft it with the gambling entity, and
they can run wild. It's sure. Like I said, my man says, well, Patrick, watch out.
Sure, sure. Well, look, you've already mm-hmm. now, I, you know, there's already a bunch of, you know, independent betting channels where you can literally, like, where you can literally, you know, bet 24/7, 365.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And see, and remember, we haven't even talked. We're not even talking about the internet yet, because
yeah.
that's
yeah.
a whole, you know, that's a whole cesspool in and of itself. But see,
yeah, yeah.
What's crazy? You know, what's crazy? And really crazy per se. But let's be honest. It's going to take somebody either getting killed, or you know, something. Even as blatant as it is, somebody's going to be even more blatant. Now, it's funny because they made an example of Calvin Ridley last year,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Ridley was stupid because instead of, you know, he used his real name, like, you know, like the Forbes 500 investor that he is, instead of having somebody else do it for him. So it wouldn't be whatever. But at this point in time right now, all they're doing is just, to me, they're just making, you know, if and when a crazy scandal really breaks, the sad thing is people are going to somewhat look the other way because it's been like, oh, well.
And Tony, I can tell you why it's going to be hard. Like you mentioned, somebody mentioned, basically, the fact that the betting entities are coming out like smoke shops. Everybody wants a piece of it. The person that wants a big piece of it is the U.S. government. They get a big piece of it. And the U.S. government has already, through the FBI and other agencies, have algorithms out there waiting for somebody to catch to mess up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somebody will slip through. But believe me, they will find your ass.
Hey Patrick. Right now, not changing subject, but Deion brought in $18 million, and it seemed like the networks are just grueling stuff. Thank God for 60 Minutes. Well, what's your thoughts overall about this clown that did a dirty hit and he got death threats? What's your thought on that?
Well, first of all, the young man shouldn't have death threats. However, I can relate to Fred on this one because we're a little older. Fred, you know, and I know, back in the days when we played football, there was a thing called, not retaliation, retribution.
Mm.
And believe me, before that game was over, the coaches said, I don't care if it's two penalties, put that nigga to sleep.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Oh, sure. This is beyond bad. Please. That's just street justice with a helmet. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thought it was amazing. Dion said, "I get death threats all the time. I'm okay with it." I said, "Damn, he sound like Obama."
Well, let me tell you, as a defensive player, let me fill you in a little more on that. There would be, because we did things the smart way back in the day. It wasn't that obvious. But if that guy was a safety, that didn't make
Lord.
Safety a free safety, there would be a reverse.
Everybody right.
Or a sweep.
There you go, Fred.
Yeah.
Preach.
Yeah.
Preach.
There would be a sweep to his side of the field. Everybody from the center, because the center back in the day, the centers were usually smaller than some of the other guys. But the guards would have pulled. He was the first man interrupted by maybe the tight end, just enough to tie him up. And then as he's trying to regain his balance, he would see a guy coming to him that was wearing like a 60 number, maybe a 70 number.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that tight end that was holding him up would stay engaged with him to a point where he couldn't have his hands free. Homeboy would have had a broke leg,
Yes,
or
indeed.
Severe twist to the ankle
would
or whatever.
About
the first half, but then whoever else will follow that play. And if that didn't get him out, then there will be somebody bigger and faster and stronger who would handle the situation. Because back then you could crack back on people.
Yes, you
wasn't
could.
Wasn't that running around to the front stuff like the guy now? He would, you know, you'd have somebody.
Yes, Lord.
As they say now in the newspaper, F him up.
Yes. Put him to sleep.
What about the head coach?
He's a jackass. He's a jackass.
The organization gave the vibe that it's all right to do whatever the fuck you want. And there would be no retribution. So, in a way, Deion knew what was coming. Coach Sanders knew what was coming. It was just a matter of how he was going to counter it.
And I was sad because the school I got recruited by was in Fort Collins, was Colorado State. I almost went there. But come on. I mean, almost went there. It was because a guy named Lonnie Wright from Newark, New Jersey, who was an all-state baseball player, also football player in Newark, but he went to Colorado State, made all conference as a safety and a running back at Colorado State. And guess what else he did? When football season was over and graduated, he played for the Denver Broncos up until December.
Right.
And then in January he said, football season's over. Then he played two guard for the Denver Nuggets.
Hmm.
And that's why I went to follow him.
You know, it seems like a simple enough plan, but when you see what happens now, especially with the sinister repercussions that have happened with the fan dying in New England and other incidents happening across,
that's crazy.
The commissioner or somebody has to get a grip, and they haven't done that yet.
When the Dodgers play the Giants, Reds play the Green Niners, we have this happening every single time. Now, my thing is this. You know what happens? Why
would that
happen?
Well, Gary, something that the elephant in the room has changed slightly. But have you noticed this is nothing new?
Mm-hmm.
Go back a few years and look at this. Basketball is the only sport where the fans are right there on the floor.
Right.
And see, we're not talking about John Q. Public, you know, weak sisters of the South, idiot. We're talking about grown people, well, in most cases, grown people with money. Those are the only people who get sit in those two rows opposite of the teams.
That's right.
This is what they call them NBA facilities, because they have a place that is designated for rich folks, guests of rich folks, and people who should know better. They had an incident they were talking about on YouTube about 2 or 3 weeks ago, where a player had family members, and somebody didn't like the fact that the lady jumped up in front of her. She couldn't see a play or whatever, and she wanted them removed. Well, she was a guest of somebody. Anyway, they didn't move them, and was. And it got nasty real fast. Okay, we heard about the situation when Oak got put out of the Madison Square Garden.
Oh yeah, that was a couple of others.
But we don't hear about when these white folks get up there acting stupid. And at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, what do we have? Everybody can do what they want to do, and get away with it because they got money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got money, they think they can get away with any and everything. You know, as one of our recent presidents thought he could get away with any and everything. And those are the kind of people in general who make these bad decisions and make it bad for other people. And unfortunately, it has taken a few people from the ghetto who may be rich now, but ain't always been rich, because somebody else to pimp slap somebody, whatever the case may be that you need to do. It's sad because it's sad because situations now. We have a young lady here in the state of North Carolina who is being expelled from school because she goes to one of these charter schools, and this young white lady decides, you know, my daddy is rich, so I can call y'all a nigger and anything else. And homegirl said, no, you can't. And went on to help her learn not to say stuff like that. Now she's getting put out of school because she defended herself. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to end up getting some money out of it because, hey, they said, well, this is in compliance with the rules of from the county, right? Well, the county's rule is wrong. And needless to say, the people are lining up behind us. But, you know, we have had too many of these incidents where the people who should know better won't do better, and that the fights in the stands.
That's a good way of putting it.
That ain't the first time, nor will it be the last. It's unfortunate because young men, and see, they've already basically cooked up a story that he died of a physical illness, not from being punched.
That's as of this
afternoon.
And quite frankly, you know, as fans, you know, I've been a fan of getting a long time in the press box, but I see people, you know, certain places, maybe it's best don't wear your team uniform. Just wear something else.
Thank you.
It's common sense. You know, places.
What's the big deal about having on a jersey that in most cases don't even fit you, and you scared to break a sweat in it? So, cause you ain't never played dead nor anything else. What's the big deal about the jerseys anyway?
But that's like when the Kansas City Chiefs used to come out here in Oakland. Nobody wore a red jersey. You know why?
Yeah.
It should be that. That's why. You
know, well, they
knew. Put a red jersey on. You don't do that.
They knew. I know the light went off for me when I was in Germany, and I saw those fans whooping on the brother with a Lynn Swan jersey on because he had on Heil Hitler, the AU. Yeah, it was like, oh, fuck. It really caught me off guard because I never saw it at a soccer match. And the club I was watching, FC Cologne, they weren't like a giant killer or anything like that. They were just an average team. But the fact that they went after him because of the number on his jersey was an indication that this is something that the fans and the management of the stadium and the management of the team did not prepare for. And they're going to be in Germany next month. And I want to see how many people walk around with 88 on.
That wasn't a real, that was not a real Steeler fan.
No, separate the history of one from the other. They're always going to be tied to the American perception. They're always going to be tied to the 70s. They're always going to be tied to the level of play that both styles brought to the table. And they're going to expect a replica of that when these guys play in October. It's not enough. It's not enough. The gambling's not enough. The betting's not enough.
Don't they play this weekend?
Yeah,
they play Monday night.
See, as a Steeler fan, I don't care where they home, where they call their home, the Raiders call their home. We're gonna beat their ass wherever it comes from.
That's damn, Patrick.
Well. It was a tough game. It was a tough game. I know it's going to be rough when Dick Chubb left. It was going to be rough because they had to make an adjustment to the game plan.
They signed Kareem Hunt.
Yeah,
they signed Kareem Hunt to replace Chubb.
Yeah, I know they
would. Well, he knows the system.
You know the system.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have left in the first place, but that's another story. When it comes to week one, ain't nobody got you, bro. Come on now. But it was a good game, you know. When you turn the ball over four times and six sacks, come on, you ain't winning no game. So I was. It is what it is. We'll see them again in the season.
But it was early enough for them to recover. You know, you got to write off the first 6 weeks.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Anything after the sixth week, we can then say it might be an upset. But if the coaches are betting, like we believe the coach of the Los Angeles Scavs is, we're going to have a bigger problem than anybody imagines. I can't see how he can make an argument for what they did in the last 2 minutes of that game.
Well, I can tell you now, if you're in the league and you're betting, they're going to find a way to find your ass. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. The government wants their money. That's the bottom line. They're going to get their money. You can bet all you want, and here come taxes. That's why they got these people out there looking for you.
Sure.
So.
Professor, Carolina played on Monday night for the first time in a long time. You got the new stadium, the new quarterback. How was the presentation? How was the game?
I went to sleep.
You're yawning, don't you?
Okay. First and foremost, our undersized quarterback got hit, actually got rolled up on. While getting hit, and he may be out for a couple of games, if not longer.
Uh-huh.
the backup quarterback is presently taking most of the snaps because the starting quarterback cannot. They're basically having him sit and watch, but it's not looking good for him to play this weekend as of right now.
They
can't see.
Yeah, the redhead. Yeah.
And then the backup quarterback is presently being practiced to start Sunday with his backup being dressed to play backup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, they do have one of their star defensive players has decided to go ahead and play without a new contract. That will help some, but it won't help the score.
Mm-hmm.
Good way of putting it.
The you know, people here are in kind of a mode. People that I've talked to, they're kind of in that little mode. Dog, I thought things were going to change. Well, I mean, the kid's a rookie.
Thank you very much.
You know, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
He is no savior. He has two games experience as a starting NFL quarterback, and
right.
which is reduced because he got hurt early in the game.
Right.
So he has less to the reality is he has less than two. He has less than a game and a half of NFL
experience. True that.
And the guys playing with him, even the experienced guys, don't have the level of comfort with him that he needs to be successful.
Ooh.
So, how can I say this diplomatically? I ain't expected a whole hell of a lot out of them for the next 6 weeks, if not more. I wish they were on the Steelers schedule, but I don't think they are. So I guess we actually have to go out and play somebody for real and win, like we did Sunday.
Well, Fred, I'm going to tell you something. And I've been saying this for years. You got all these knuckleheads from the GMs, the presidents, let alone the fans and the clowns in media. If a guy's a rookie quarterback, let his ass sit. I'm not into putting the guy out there, you know what, if I need to play, the only way he's going to learn how to play and get killed and mess up the game.
Then sit your ass down.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, coming into the season, the decision was made to make him a starter shortly after. Well, to be honest, the decision was made when they drafted him that he was going to start, no matter what. And because of that, he was put into the pressure cooker at a stage where you know he's going to he may not crack. But he's never going to rise but so far with what he's working with. And they did not do a lot. They did not do a lot to help him, in my
but
humble opinion, as far as, you know, think about it. Terry Bradshaw was a knucklehead, jackass, and all this other stuff, right? But guess what? They drafted two Hall of Fame wide receivers to play with him.
That's right.
And the Hall of
Before
Fame
that,
running
back. They had drafted two Hall of Fame running backs to surround him and the two that started. And remember, realistically, the two that started, I know Harris and Blyer are both going to be in the Hall of Fame, but guess what? They were not necessarily the best running backs because you had number 38, who was a real 45, who could flat out run the ball. He replaced both of them at one time or another. So, and then we won't forget the guys that have always been overlooked in the offensive line because they were Hall of Fame, at least three Hall of Famers in that group.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this guy don't have none of that. He got a fresh, he got a rookie left tackle And I've seen two guys eat him alive, all 300 and some pounds of him. And I think he's out of Georgia somewhere. It may help him long term, but right now, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback has to run for his life, because, and that's part of the way he got hit. The guy came off the block.
Yep.
He stepped up.
Yep.
The guy hit him from behind.
And that's why I'm all for, you know, if a quarterback is going to start, use your feet, man. Get away. One needs to learn how to stay in the pocket. No, he needs to stay alive.
Yep.
Listen, eventually they're going to learn what the other black quarterbacks have learned, and a few white ones. Fran Tarkenton told –
yes, Lord.
Remember, he's white as a Klansman sheep. But guess what he would do?
Run the ball.
When in doubt,
run
the ass.
And Fred, guess what, Fred? Fred, think about it. Do they talk about Fran talking the way they talk about brothers running? Oh, he was
no.
a grandma.
Not just Fran. They don't talk about any of these guys who were runners.
That's
who were
right.
white guys
it
who
were was him. It was him and Mike Lanzi in Detroit. Yeah. Bobby Douglas in Chicago. Oh yeah. They don't mention that.
Jeez.
So right.
Yeah.
And those guys who are white and don't run, they talk about them. Damn, he's sacked again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Use your feet, man. Use what God gave you.
Yeah.
Because see, even the slower guys, there is no realistic way that a guy who plays quarterback at the NFL level, or even the high college level, or even the low college level, actually, you can run. All you gotta do is run at least 5 to 7 steps. You can get you what they call it, escapability.
Mm.
Don't be in a spot where the defensive player knows all I gotta do is take this angle, no matter what kind of blocking they threw on me. But as long as I go off this side or that side, he gonna be there when I get there.
Mm-hmm.
And two things gonna happen. One, he can't run. He won't be able to run away. Two, he won't have the ball up in the throwing position. He's gonna have the ball down there in his waist where he can't do nothing
yes.
with it.
Agree.
This brings us to a different situation. The NFL is sitting fat, cash out the wazoo, revenue streams no problem, but. A fan died Sunday night on national TV when Miami played New England. Now, they say here and there, they whisper autopsy that something happened, but nobody said what. This is something that has got to be a growing concern to the commissioner, and it's got to be even a bigger concern to the players. The players union ain't said shit. We don't know when one day somebody might be stupid enough to go out there and bust a cap in a player. Don't think it's that far-fetched because it's a very, very real thing, especially after seeing what happened to the fan in New England. You go to a game and you take your life in your hands. That's kind of fucked up. And that's the way to spend a Sunday afternoon.
Hey, Mike, hold up. How did the fan die? What happened?
There was a fight in the stands between some Dolphins.
Oh, wow. What a shot. Fighting in
the
stands. Might get killed.
Yeah. Next thing you know, the guy is slumped over. Nobody said anything. And the coroners haven't come through yet with the reason why he died. They know he's dead.
Was he a Miami Dolphins fan?
Yeah.
Was he a Dolphins fan?
No, sorry. No, he was New England fan. I stand corrected. He was New England fan. But the bottom line
is, he was
involved
in the fight.
The commissioner didn't say shit. Somebody's got to open their mouth. Shit like this happened long before the game. There were incidents in other games, and the commissioner said nothing. The so-called
okay, I got a question. On the back of that ticket, does that absolve them of any kind of craziness?
I think so.
You said you're going at your own risk.
I think so.
It might.
Yes, we think so.
Two and three.
Something on the fine print. It got something to do with this. Is at your own risk.
Two A degrees. You may answer some of that, but guess what? The ultimate responsibility still lies with the team and the stadium, because it's up to them to have security there.
It's just like
most people don't realize this. When you go to a ball game, especially at the higher levels and higher prices, there were EMTs who administered first aid to this guy. They are there, but if you're high enough in the stands, you can see them because they're behind these barriers. They're supposed to be there just because of the number of people that are in the facility. They know they can't. If something goes down, they know they can't just get from the floor, from the ground up to where you are. So there are people, they're stationed around the arenas.
EMS trucks are everywhere. They're ready to go.
You know, because I know we have four, we call them Red Cross, I think we call them Red Cross Station. This is those defibrillators.
And we got
two in the sanctuary, one in the children's area, and then there's one it's like a big assembly room. But I think we got four of them. And it's just necessary now. I mean, and you know, why not? If you want these people to be your fan, these are your fans that you think so much of. If something goes down, you want to take care of. Because guess what? We don't mind if grandma and grandpa comes to the game, but we also have to understand that something can go down that could cause them to have to need first aid, and you can't wait for them to come from the fire station or wherever. You have to go on the site. I mean, that's just part of the poison you gotta deal with now. And it doesn't cost, I think these things cost a couple hundred bucks a piece. In round numbers, we got $1,000 worth. And it's worth it to have things on site because, see, this has been five years ago now. We had a young lady sitting on the opposite end of the seat where I was sitting, and she collapsed. Okay. And she had just retired from the military, and she suffered an aneurysm, which where it was located, there was nothing that could be done for her. But there are other instances there. And matter of fact, that particular Sunday, I think we had two of our members who were doctors who came to her aid. And one of the things that we did not have at the time, if I remember correctly, we did not have a defibrillator, but that would not have done her any good. But there are other incidents that have happened because we have older members now, because when we started, we had people that was 30, 40, 50 years of age. In the 50s, we've counted 50-year-olds on our fingers. But guess what? Those 50-year-olds are now 70, 75 years old.
That's right. Yep.
And all the maladies that come with it. And see, looking at this whole thing, with this incident in New England, and I know we have crazy fans in Pittsburgh and every other and every other venue that you want to think of. But I go back to my previous statement. A lot of that could be helped by if the NBA would do something about them crazies they have sitting down on the sideline.
True.
If you know, I know you all have heard Isaiah Thomas talk about how his mom and her friends would bring food and all kinds of stuff in there, right?
Sure enough, I got to attest to that.
and I have seen that in other various places. It's not supposed to happen because guess what? It's illegal in most states. It's illegal to bring put into a place like that, but they let him get away with it.
Right.
And when they let him get away with it, guess what? There, when you relax the rules on one thing, you end up relaxing the rules on several other things. It's unfortunate. People think that life is what, not what you do or don't do, it's what you can get away with.
That's true.
And see, now we have young people who are growing up who have come down that pipeline and seen all this kind of stuff. Will you let them get away with it? No, you know, and that's not quite how it happened. And so, you know, we're in a grossly undisciplined society who think, again, what rules are, it's what you get away with.
That's true. On the money. On the money. And I want to add that, particularly when Fred said about what guys and parents and friends, particularly mothers, the two mothers that really, well, the years I worked in the NBA, was Allen Iverson's mother, and one male was Stephon Marbury's father. Whew!
Mm-hmm.
Legends. I'm going to tell you, legends, man. Yeah. Come in, bring in a plastic bowl and Lewis and Paul. Walk to the stadium. Oh, man.
And they got a circle of friends that know, hey, yep, you don't have to buy no food.
There you go.
You know,
wait.
It's like one guy I knew at a certain school. You know, he... You know, when you go to, I think, a soda cost now, I guess you call them Big Gulp, that's about $7 or $8.
Yep.
This brother would spend $7 or $8 by a dozen cans or whatever. They will somehow or another they will be cold, and him and his boys, they sit on the sideline in their cubicle, and it was field day for them. And they never bought food, unless somebody bought something out from the press from one of the skyboxes. And Charlotte, as strict as they are in Charlotte, there are certain people who bring what they want in there, or bring it down from the boxes.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I wanted to hit on when we talk about a level of poor judgment. By Mel Tucker, who I kind of feel sorry for. Every time I told you last week, $95
Becky got him another
$1 million.
Becky got him again.
I got some details. The person that he was dealing with was a woman that was attacked by four football players about 10 years ago. She now has a job going around to colleges talking about sexual abuse so guys in the football teams can know it. For some reason,
were these four brothers that attacked her?
I don't know who the brothers were, but I know what she got. She's around the country doing it. A lot of colleges bring us in, so guys on football teams know, hey, you can't run no train on the woman because the train's going to take you to the federal prison. She, for some reason, and Mel Tucker got to know each other, and apparently, they will do a little swinging, but Mel is talking to this bird that this woman who's about sexual abuse, right? He's on the phone and they having phone sex. I'm going, what? Oh, it gets better. It gets better. I think her name was Braces. It was her last name, if I'm not mistaken. She decides to call Michigan State's administration. Well, she felt uncomfortable. Wait a minute. You want to come? Wait a minute.
Dumbass.
She got jungle fever.
Well, what's worse, Mel, you got a wife and kids and $95 million.
Brother was married. He married to a Becky or a sister?
I don't know who he married to, but I know she pissed.
She had plans for that money.
Yeah, had that money was hers. Please,
oh,
not no more.
Man. Instead of $80 million, she only going to get $30 million, half of 30.
half 30. That's right.
You talking about poor judgment? Lord. Come on, man. And I feel, and since I follow Mo,
damn.
He coached Lord the judge, coached the Browns, and he got this great job. All for a piece of ass. Oh,
he just went to a big game and won the big Michigan Ohio State every other year. He had to make, and all he had to do.
Okay, just clear the air. This is the brother at Michigan State, right?
Yes, sir.
Which means he's a brother who did not go to an HBCU.
Correct.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm safe.
I'm safe.
It's funny, but
it ain't because
there's just something about, and I know
this kind of thing can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
But usually at HBCUs, somebody will have a talk with you, especially if they hear stuff about you going around.
Mm-hmm. They'll have the talk with you. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have been on both ends of that kind of conversation, mm-hmm. to include being at the coaching level. I've only coached women, other than when I was coaching for the Army.
Right.
And it's crazy sometimes trying to tell women, okay, you have to protect your own reputation from these other people. You know, you can't depend on them, all the stuff that goes along with that. And having been on that side, you get in a sticky, it's a sticky situation to approach them about it, but you have to, because there's a side of you that becomes a parent and or favorite uncle or whatever it might be. You got to sit down and have a talk with them. And you got to consider, you know, like, at church, I've had situations where people says, why do you ask women when we were doing, you know, we had a situation, why do you ask her if she was pregnant or was the possibility of becoming pregnant? I said, that's par for the course. You don't have to ask me in that, because, hey, they're not going to get pregnant. But women, you have to, that's a question, that's a part of their exam.
Come on.
Well, what do you do? Okay, you got to ask, and you ask the question. And then isn't that sexist? No, it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we have people. Everybody and I know T Mac been around Big House. Big House would just get you told, and with a smile on his face, or sometimes maybe not. But he would tell you, you know, he would tell you what you needed to hear, not what you wanted. And at the end of the day, them old school coaches, especially the ones we had, hey, I saw a guy get smart with coach one day. It wasn't one of ours, but this young man sassed him about women. The next thing you hear was bump, bump, thump. He said, MF, I got a daughter, and I better not catch you with her. Because if I do, I'm going to shoot your ass like I'd shoot anybody else. And, you know, there's just something different about the way it would be handled. And, you know, I wish him well, but, you know, it's sad to say he made a lot of money. Hopefully he didn't spend it all in one place. But, you know, very likely if he get another job, he would be at an HBCU.
Yeah, it might be. Or assistant coach. He'll never be a head coach again, unfortunately. All of me is working for that position. and then it's at the wrong school. You know, Michigan State had history of that guy with the gymnast. They just paid off the millions to those girls in school. Now this guy gonna come up. Come on, man. Come on.
No, let's keep this 100. They're still paying those girls off.
Yeah. And those are
ones that we know about, because there's probably some others going to come out of woodwork too. And needless to say, it's unfortunate. And see, hopefully he won't get dragged in court like this, because the guy with the gymnast, he was just so headstrong and whatnot that he got carried away.
Yeah. Yep.
Never. Yeah.
You know
it doesn't
matter. Gymnastics, football, you can't fix stupid. And Brother Taylor was stupid. And no matter what they say, ain't that much pussy in the world that's going to make you fuck up your situation. He got caught
especially
up.
Especially $95 million.
Thank you. 95 million in pussy. I can't even count that high. That's a lot of ass.
That's a whole lot of that's a whole lot of zeros.
Yes,
you
Lord.
Get that right.
Please. Married with children. Come on, man. Stop. Masturbating in the office.
Shit.
Come on, man. Please.
That's true.
I had to mention that. It hurts my heart, man.
It hurts me too, because with every small success, somebody's got to move back two steps because someone acted a fucking fool. There's no collective understanding of the big picture anymore. You got one guy who might be innovative and move up, and two others who are trying to shine off him, and they fuck up because they get just a taste. Not a full effect deal, but just a taste. They can say what they want about Coach Sanders, but I tell you what, he fulfilled his contract, and the season's not even 4 weeks old yet. He's made more than the $5 million that he signed on the John Henry about. And that's fact. They can't change that. No matter what
Michael, every hotel in Boulder, Colorado last week was full. You couldn't get in Boulder last week.
It's true.
Oh, Lord.
They said in the 60 Minutes piece that Colorado merchandise has gone up by 819%, whatever the fuck that number is.
Mike,
they're making a lot of money off of that.
They've already paid back the money for the next 2 years.
Yes,
for Dion. And the bigger one is this that I'm really intrigued about and it interested me. As of Monday, his sunglasses have sold $4.5 million as of
That's
Monday
insane.
Afternoon.
Sunglasses, get out of here.
$4.5 million. I got it from three different sources. Come on, man. And of course, he gets a piece of that. I ain't mad at him.
Of course.
And matter of fact, I was looking for my because they're all kind of smooth. They're kind of smooth, you know. So hey, it's what it is, you know. But this coming Saturday will be an interesting game when they play Oregon. I don't think they'll beat Oregon. But I think they'll make it real interesting. Really interesting.
But what will be interesting is they've won three in a row.
That's it. That's the most important thing.
Said they'd win no more than three. If they beat Oregon, there's going to be a rush to the pay window. And Vegas may not be able to handle this because the Vegas Golden Knights hockey team cut them off guard. they upset their logarithms big time. Deion's done the same thing. You know, I mean, his flesh may not be to everybody's liking, and he may be a self-promoter, but he's getting results, and they're getting paid for it. So it's kind of hard to argue against the combination of the two.
Mike, I do believe one of these Power 5 teams will get – they're going to get one of these Power 5 teams. They're going to get one of these Power 5 teams this year. I know if they have Hunter, I know they get him. But without, you know, him there, for I don't know who's going to take his place. I do believe they're going to beat one of the Power 5 teams, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. And really, I saw the 60-minute speech. He did what every coach does. You know, I took this team apart. You can play, you can play, you can play. You can't play. Somebody's going to play bad.
Yep.
Let's see who the best players are. Come on out, make the team, or don't make the team. If you think I'm trying to get rid of you, prove me wrong. I mean, it's not anything I don't think any of us have ever heard a coach not say. So why should we, as Patrick would say, why are we surprised?
Let's go.
They're playing, they have the best motivating factor that they possibly can have. Somebody will take us back if we can't hold it up. And they are. They're holding up.
Mike.
Yes.
Let's face the realities of college athletics.
Yep.
The only difference between what Deion Sanders did and some of these other coaches is they made a big deal of it and went public with it. The portal helped some.
Yep.
But think about it.
A whole lot.
We all heard this term. We're gonna run these other guys off.
Yep.
And when they run these other guys off, what do? They run the other guys off. They may not do as they may not run as many off, but they do run other guys off. And that's nothing new. You name a coach who don't run other guys off, you run into a coach who has accepted the fact that he's not going to win the next year.
That's true.
And so that, you know, they made a bigger deal of it than we thought they did, than they should have made it, because of things. If you don't know athletics, which a lot of people don't, especially fans, they don't know the reality to face in a situation like that. It's sad but true.
A lot of guys lost
positions, and coaches. You know, what's the term that coaches always say? I'm going to bring in my own people.
And my nephew
went to a starting center at Campbell College back in the 80s. And guess what? New coach came in. They paid for his junior year and his senior year. Campbell honored his scholarship, which at that time was close to $20,000 a year. All the guys that were left that were juniors and above, they kept them in school, but they didn't keep them on the team.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. And let me add this, Mike. The thing that from my perspective, that's the underlying reason for a lot of hysteria, particularly from white media, is the fact that this model, this updated model of what Deion is, was supposed to be done by somebody other than Deion other than somebody black.
True.
And mostly other than somebody black.
He wasn't
supposed to be smart. And remember, I don't like him because he was a cowboy, so. But he's still a brother.
and I call him the John Calipari of football. That's all.
Yeah.
And what did Calipari do when he first went to Kentucky? What did he do? got rid of all the
everybody. Oh yeah, Cal do that in a
got
heartbeat.
Got rid of everybody.
Cal
That's
do
right.
that in a heartbeat. I know Cal.
he got rid of all
I'm
of
him. Yeah, I'm sorry, Cal. Next guy coming in, you got to go. That's right.
And I think the only one he kept was this rich white kid.
No, he kept about 10 players. Colorado kept about 10.
No. When Kentucky went to Kentucky, he got rid of all the white guys. I think he was a rising senior.
Yeah. They got, as a matter of fact, he got two boys, the two best players in Jersey going to Kentucky this year. Milt Wagner's son. Yeah, so another kid that's 7'2". So it should stay in Jersey, but that's another story. See how it goes. I just want to mention I'm sending out prayers and condolences for all Jet fans right now, New York Jet fans, because what's that movie where it's a replay every year? I forgot what it's called, but what happened last year to the Jets? The same thing will happen this year. So unfortunately,
every year. Same time next year.
Because if he's been on Zach Wilson to change, good luck.
Wait,
Mike. I believe I was talking to somebody today because I gave him some information on the Rutgers game I did last week. And he didn't get in games this week. I said, you know, we might get one or two Jet games this year because the media ain't going to be there. They locked my butt up because of Hard Knocks. We couldn't get in. That might change for the end of the season.
No shit. Talking about Hard Knocks. We got 10 shades of pitiful with the Jets. They're not going to change. Their fan base won't change. Their ownership sucks. But
that back office is worse.
There you go.
Play the back office is even worse. It's the quintessential of jacked up junior executives of the Jet organization. They
That's
got a
exactly
bunch of
right.
junior executives.
That's a nice way of putting it. That's right. Junior execs. They're not ready for prime time. They just barely have a key to the washroom, you know. They'd be better off peeing by themselves because it's not going to make you any smarter being in there.
I was around that team for 20-some odd years and going, who are these white dudes? Ain't no, none of our football. What are they doing? Anyway, let's shut up.
I know. on that note alone, we got to go to final thoughts. Reggie, are you here?
Well, what I'm looking at right now is a failure to communicate when it comes to a certain black coach that put a hit list on a young man. And the thing that really gets me is that you have former NFL players, Shannon Sharpe, Keyshawn Johnson, and others that know a dirty hit when they see one.
True.
I got to ask Patrick real quick, do you think the retribution with other teams, or do you think it'll be a situation where this kid better pack his bags and move on down the road real quick? But we'll see. What do you think, Patrick?
I'm going to tighten his ass up on the field. I'm sorry. Somebody going to put me to sleep on the field. I'm sorry. I'm too old school. You know,
I said,
ain't retaliation, it's retribution.
Yes, sir. But I got to wonder how much would the line move if Mr. Hunter was playing?
Ooh,
now we got to see how things are going now.
100% correct. 100% correct.
But just my thought.
Yeah.
It's a good thought and a lot to think about. Patrick, come on in.
Speaking of Reg, I got something for you, Reg, all right?
Sir, yes, sir.
I know it's something in the past, but You know, we have a problem with ownership in NFL of various kinds. But when Jerry Jones says we need more, I'm going to start a campaign to get more blacks who have the ability to get an ownership. Wait a minute, Jerry. Didn't you just say that blacks
need more ownership? Jerry Jones said what?
Yeah.
Jerry Jones? Arkansas Jones? Not Jerry
Jones.
Arkansas Jones.
Yeah.
Andrew got caught.
There you go, Gary. Speak on it, Gary. Speak on it. After Trotter came out with Trotter got receipts.
That's right.
He got boxing receipts.
That's right.
He got receipts. He got seats on in boxes. He got
cases on all y'all.
He got more boxes of seats than Trump had down Mar-a-Lago. Plus, iCloud.
Don't forget the owner of the Buffalo Bills. I hope he got receipts on his ass too.
Oh Lord!
Y'all niggas go back to Africa. You don't like it? Go to Africa.
And now they got two people to confirm what he said. I'm going, bro.
Oh
Lord!
You
got busted. So yeah. Jerry Jones said, "Now
I love it."
So it's tightening up. I'm putting together committees to help blacks get ownership. Too late, Jerry.
Yes. Hey, is Herschel Walker gonna be one of them?
Yeah, Herschel might be one of them. Yeah. Somebody like that. Yeah, Herschel Walker might be one of them. Please.
Talking about Herschel
Walker be one. I'm sorry.
Fred,
I'm so jealous. Sorry.
Well, the recent game between Colorado and Colorado State, and the comments by the coach from Colorado State, to a degree, I took a different spin on it because I think Deion has to expect some kickback or pushback from some of the things that he says, because if you notice, leading into the game, there was only one team play, and that was the Buffaloes.
That's right.
And homeboy basically said, okay, you're not playing by yourself. You're playing my team. Sure, they ended up losing, but at the same time, though, think about it. He had, as a coach, he has to protect his team, defend his team,
mm-hmm.
and come back and go and say things, get some things on the side of the media, somewhat on the side of his team. So that's what he did. I don't blame him for that. It's just like it was in the SWAT. When Deion said certain things, some coaches took it, some coaches didn't.
Yeah.
So, having said that, it was unfortunate. That's a Winston Sella man. Leave him alone. of course, if he loses another game, he can stay there. But when you have competition, there's both. You got players, coaches on both sides, and you got to expect something like that. This is not when I'm bent over and catch your ankle and just take it like a man. This sometimes you got to say something back to it. I think that's all I think he did, because he had to bring the narrative back around to let people know, hey, we on the field with them too, and I haven't taken the time to look because I don't really care that much, but I care enough to just approach the question. Was Colorado State one of the teams that beat Colorado last year, was it one they lost to last year?
No, they haven't won in 5 years.
Colorado State hadn't won in 5 years.
That's right. In 5 years, they beat them 5 years straight.
They might not win a game this year.
Well, there you go.
But, because my thing has been, through all of this, the world does not revolve around Deion Sanders as much as people want to. I mean, this is personally, I think this is another super Negro situation, and they have generally led us nowhere as a people. So at some point in time, these power five teams are kicking his ass, and he's going to cease to be the darling and becoming the dog. As he talk about, we got some dog, he going to be a dog.
There you go. Well said, Fred, and I'm going to be really intrigued by the time the line comes out for the game. If somehow Colorado wins, the payouts are going to be off the chart. And it's going to bring
I'm
a whole other
question
to the mix. Gary.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Pac-12 has been destroyed.
Yes, Lord.
The Pac-12 is only two teams left. And Washington State and Oregon State. Washington State and Oregon State sued the Pac-12 and the NCAA. I don't know about you, but I don't where it's going with this lawsuit. Everybody knows you go anywhere you want to go, wherever you want to get ready to go. They've been doing it for years. Nothing new here. So Washington State and Oregon State got back their bags, find a new conference, and move on. That's what they need to do.
Yep.
Yes.
It's just two teams they could join the ACC.
No, they can't.
The ACC already has Stanford.
Now they can't. They cut that off.
Stanford and UCLA will be in the ACC. Now my question is, why are you going cross country? Rutgers is gonna play UCLA. You gotta be kidding me! And see, these kids in soccer, these kids in volleyball, these kids in lacrosse, this is gonna be terrible for those kids. It's good for basketball, football, but that's it.
Yeah, you're right. But they don't care.
It doesn't matter. You have the ACC runs from the coast of Florida all the way up to the Canadian border, and then it goes from coast to coast.
That's right. What's on the coast?
They were one of the conferences that talked about the rigors of cross-country travel. Well, they fly everywhere, so what are they talking about?
What rigors are you talking about?
My second thing is the HBCUs are going to try it one more time. The HBCUs need to join forces. SWAC, the MEAC, SIAC, and the CIAA need to join hands and make one Pac conference.
Gary, as one who's followed them for the last 40 years, there's a group of people in the ACE and the CIAA and the SIAC especially.
They said
in their minds, there's too much money to spend on athletics rather than raising, and they're not willing to do what it takes to raise that kind of money. They don't even raise that money, that kind of money for academics, so you know they won't raise
it. Red, reason why I bring this up again is because you sit there and watch Deion Sanders do what he did for Jackson State. He moves to Colorado, and Colorado moves from 199 18 minutes. Now, wait a minute. Carmelo made $1 million in the last 3 weeks. Why can't we do this?
Colorado made more money since he moved up there.
Yes.
Already this year, they made more money than he would have made had he stayed in Jackson, Mississippi.
That's right.
What I'm saying
the president of Jackson quit stealing money.
If Colorado can do this, why can't Hampton? Why can't Morgan?
Gary, we done been through this again.
What is this?
Gary, Professor, somebody I done told you, when the president get bad, cause there ain't no picture of him doing homecoming. You can forget that. I'm telling
you,
man.
Thank you.
It's so sad.
It ain't happening. It ain't happening. That would be like Jerry Jones.
They say we're about academics, not about athletics.
Unreal.
Yeah.
All right, great. Here we go. 1 o'clock Saturday. We talk about it more on Saturday. 1 o'clock. Here we go.
Well, I'll tell you this much. If Jerry Jones wants to join the NAACP, why stop
him? You know? Hell yeah, right.
It was founded by white folks, so why not? He will take his money.
Exactly. He worried.
They want his money, but then they'll forget. Because they don't read history, they won't know that white folks were the founders.
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say that.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
They're worried about teaching slaves courses in advanced cotton picking. It ain't happening. Bottom line, the whole deal is, Jerry, sit your ass down. I think the only thing we can do for you to calm you down is play your song. Roger Goodell to wake the fuck up before somebody else died. NFL game tonight.